I know we'll rank Teresa Walker on. Just saw this stat that four of Tennessee's five losses this season came against teams that ended up making it to the Sweet 16. Who's the one team that beat Tennessee that did not make it to the Sweet 16? Let's bring Teresa Walker in. Teresa knows.
Mississippi State?
Mississippi State did not beat Tennessee.
Okay.
Greg, it's Kansas.
Kansas.
There you go,
Kansas. Hey, how you feeling there, Teresa? I understand you had an event. How was vacation? Let me put it that way.
Greg, when you get off the air, be careful when you walk out to your car because I have a pair of crutches to beat you to an inch of your life with, my friend.
Now,
you dinked me.
I am not superstitious, so we'll get that out there, number one. Number two, I jinxed you into what?
All right, as I was literally leaving my house for the airport last Monday, after talking to you, I missed the final step in my garage. Mm. And rolled my left ankle, and so bad that when I stopped at the ER, and thank God to the people at TriStar Summit out there off of OHB near the airport, they thought that I had a calcaneus fracture of my heel. That, guys, might have required, well, if it was the calcaneus fracture, it would have required surgery, possibly pins, this, that, the other. I would have joined, I would have tried to have gotten the scooter that Marcus Mariota used last year, or Delaney Walker, because I would have been on one of those puppies for 8 to 12 weeks. So thank God it was just a badly sprained ankle. So, but yes, I was traipsing around airports and the keys with a pair of crutches.
Well, let me ask you this. That last step in your garage, how long has that been there?
It's been there the entire time I've been in that house.
Okay, just saying, it wasn't a surprise there. It didn't come out of nowhere.
Greg, that was the day, though, that you were the one who put that bad mojo out in the air. It's all, dude, it was your fault. At least that's what I'm sticking to.
Well,
yes, I'm with you.
Bad mojo out in the air for me has a different meaning altogether, but we'll leave it at that. Well, Teresa, that's fine. If you got to blame somebody, I get that at home, so I'm used to it.
Well, I'll say this. My husband's much happier to have me blame you than him. So, because, you know, that's the fallback, right? The husband or the spouse is always the one that's at fault if something bad happens.
Yeah, well, I hope you're – well, it sounds like you're okay and having fun. And you got to still go on vacation, hobbled that you were.
Yes, it did force me to lay flat, rest, ice, compression. So I applied the ice with some adult beverages and applied that internally. But yes, enjoyed watching, you know, couldn't kayak, but which is what I so desperately wanted to do last week, but I did manage to enjoy my vacation, limited as I was.
What does your foot do in a kayak?
Well, the problem is you got to walk to, you know, across the sand, across some, you know, in the Keys, it's not all beautiful flat sand. There's a lot of rocks that you got to make sure you don't misstep. And let's put it this way. I didn't want to do what happened the last time I was recovering from an injury and, fall in or mess up something with the kayak. So it was just better to play it safe than sorry. So, you know what? I watched lots and lots of basketball.
Well, let's get to that. Teresa Walker, Teresa M. Walker on Twitter, the Associated Press. The Vols get up by 25. They almost had the second largest meltdown in NCAA tournament basketball history, survive in overtime. And that's all you got to do around these days, survive in advance. But I tell you what, it's an interesting scene. I don't know if I've ever heard of a player talk his coach into not going into a game like Admiral Schofield apparently did. And it's interesting that Barnes relinquished because, in my mind, he's one of your best players, and you're going down the stretch and then the overtime. And he say, play Kyle Alexander, play them both. You know what? You know they play them both a lot. I thought it was odd. Let me put it that way.
Well, we all thought it was odd. I mean, you know, watching the people who were there tweeting out body language, how Schofield looked mad. Well, he may have been mad at himself for taking that, you know, jacking up a shot with 20 seconds on the play clock. Late in regulation and a 2-point lead. You know, guys, there were so many ways that Tennessee, you know, one more play and Tennessee's not in overtime. You know, we could talk about the block that, you know, was actually called a foul, which, you know, I'm sorry, I watched that replay over and over, and Jerry Palm, who's an absolutely unbiased observer, he thought that was a bad call as well. That was essentially a 6-point swing, 5-point swing maybe at the moment. huge, huge play. Anyone who was at the SEC tournament remembers LSU losing to, what was it, Florida on a technical, you know, that was a whole six-point swing. So, you know, that was just a massive, massive call in that game. But, you know, hey, maybe if Schofield was in the game for that final play of regulation, maybe he's the one that jacks up the three. Guys, I don't know about you, but I wasn't great in math in school. In fact, that's why I went to journalism, so I could avoid math. But when it's tied and all you need is 1 point to win the game, why throw up a low percentage three when you could maybe drive to the lane with somebody, the two-time SEC Player of the Year, Grant Williams, and at worst, he draws contact, maybe goes to the line. We saw him never miss a free throw in the game at Memorial. If he hits one, we don't have overtime. So the good thing is Tennessee managed to, you know, I don't know what happened at halftime, guys. It was almost like they thought the game was over because they played so, so well in the first half. I've never seen a game called at halftime. We've seen many games we wish were called at halftime with a mercy rule. But, you know, Iowa, credit Iowa that came out, credit Tennessee for, you know, managing to take control in overtime. And, guys, that's where Grant Williams really took over and bailed them out. So now can the Vols take advantage of this breather, second chance, and capitalize it as they move forward? I'm looking forward to the games Thursday night in Louisville.
Yeah, me too. And that's something I was saying this weekend, one of the national guys, about Grant Williams going down low, is that the fact now is basketball has kind of evolved. People trying to stop the three-point shooter or the 18-foot shot out. A lot of guys don't know how to defend a guy like Grant Williams down low. And it's easy to say, just get the ball into Grant Williams and let him do his thing. But really, let Grant Williams have the ball down low and let him get the fouls. Let him put the shots up. I mean, that's, if this team's going to go any farther in the tournament, it's got to be Grant Williams completely taking over games.
Well, absolutely, Joe. Again, two-time SEC Player of the Year. And, you know, when we see him take control of games, you know, you can get hot from three-point line, and the shots can fall. Villanova won their first national title a few years ago doing just that. I covered them in the regional semifinal, and, you know, when they came into that point, they were shooting 65% from three, okay? You can get on that kind of run. But the one thing that pays off time and again, there's a reason why, you know, big people, whether it's woman, man, if you're 6'10", 7 feet, you can't move much, but you can stand in the paint, and you're so close to the basket, you can knock down shots. You can average 58, 65% a season knocking down those shots. Why? You're closer to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is simple geometry. You know, the shortest line between point A, the ball in the hand, and point B, the basket, is when you're in the paint. And that's where Grant Williams has excelled for two seasons now.
You said there would be no math. Now you've gone to geometry.
I lied. Sorry about that.
You know, it's funny. I go
put in that.
I go back, Teresa, to when A.J. Ogilvy was at Vanderbilt, and Kevin Stallings was talking about one time about how it's important he gets the ball because A.J. Ogilvy wanted to get away from the basket. And Stallings like, look, we need you down low because a lot of teams don't know how to defend a big man down low. And it's still this way 8, 9, 10 years later on, is a lot of guys don't know how to defend down low. And once you get a guy like Williams who can spin, who can shoot, I mean, that's lethal. And so he really has to take over again for the Vols to make any damage in the tournament.
Well, and they're usually putting a 4 or a 5, power forward or a post on him. He can step out 16, 17 feet, even a 3-point range, and make those shots, but more importantly, pull his defender away from the basket as well.
Well, and that's the thing. Then you can start playing inside the paint to outside and move the ball around, and that's where you get a team guessing, where are we going to jump, where's the defense going to go, what are they doing with the ball, and that's when you can start imposing your will. That's what we saw in the first half yesterday, guys. You know, yes, I know Schofield hit some, you know, three big threes, and, you know, too bad that one at the buzzer, you know, didn't go in for Tennessee, because that would have, you know, been a really nice lead, and who knows, that might have been the, you know, the fork in Iowa. But, you know, hopefully maybe the biggest lesson, you know, aside from the fact, go to Grant Williams, is it's never over. Until the final second is off the clock, it's never over. And you keep imposing your will, and you got to be ready. I mean, you know, what's the saying? Basketball is a game of runs. Tennessee has to know that, you know, if it's Purdue on Thursday night or if they're seeing Virginia on Saturday in the regional final, that it's never over. Somebody, they're going to come back. Why? Because everybody's scrapping and fighting and clawing to win a championship right now.
Well, and the three-point line changed all of that as well. You can get back in a hurry. Teresa Walker, Associated Press. Teresa M. Walker on Twitter. Duke 77, Central Florida 76. Of course, the Johnny Dawkins connection there. His son, Aubrey, 32 points. And, you know, there's no part of me that likes Duke, okay? I don't want Duke to win. But it's a really weird feeling that I want Zion Williamson to win, meaning I want to watch him play. You know what I'm saying? I don't want him to win, but I want to watch him play a couple more college games because, quite frankly, that's all the college games I'll ever get to see him play.
And he is an amazing player. And, unfortunately, you know, we talked about the botched call in the Tennessee game. You know, the only reason Taco fell backwards is because Zion Williamson is a big, big kid too. And you have that coming into you. You know, Taco, if he had another 50 pounds, maybe he could keep his feet. You know, but the officials, you know, you can look, they missed a hook and hold on the missed free throw that Duke was able to rebound and put back up for what wound up being the winning points. So, you know, hey, apparently you're not alone, Greg, in wanting to see Zion keep playing.
Yeah, but even before now, I could go either way on the contact underneath and if he was definitely inside the barrier there underneath the basket. But the push-off was coming to when he drove and just shoved B.J. Taylor out of the way. There was a foul, so the whistle should have blown long before the contact between Zion and Taco.
Well, exactly. And then I don't know what the foul situation was at that game, I'll admit. I was flipping around and came back with 2:50 left in that game. But, one thing that jumped out at me watching these games over the last few days, we all saw the clip a few days ago. I think it was LeBron, you know, walked for like, 10 steps to the basket without putting the ball on the floor. Well, I saw a lot of walking yesterday. It's like even now in college, kids are being given that extra step, you know, and it's like, oh, I tell you, I would have been calling a lot of walks yesterday. I'm just saying.
Well, what did the LSU guy, right? He took like 4 steps, didn't he, on Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah, but at least that's what the everyone else but LSU fans thought.
So, right.
And I still want to know, how in the world, when UCF drives down at that ball, it just looked like it was going in. Then they get another chance, and it's like, it looked like it was going in. It's like, was Buffalo Wild Wings guy on the buzzer, maybe making that ball bounce off?
Not only that, but, you know, I was telling Greg to start the show off. I mean, it's every year, Teresa, the first 4 days of the tournament never disappoint. I mean, it's always dramatic, entertaining, full of everything that makes things special, and that's these 4 days were incredible. And that game last night with Duke and UCF just topped it all off for us.
Well, and there's enough games going on all 4 of the networks that if you have a dud, you can go find a good one.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and now Saturday was a bit of an exception to that, guys. You know, there were enough double-digit blowouts on Saturday alone. Now, Kentucky, you know, was one of the exceptions in LSU, but it was like tied for the 7th highest winning margin, for a round of 32 games all time in the tournament. So, you know, maybe that means we're in for some, with all the chalk that's played out in this tournament, in this bracket, maybe that means we're going to have some really awesome games this weekend. You know, because let's face it, there was some drama, but the kind where you're just going from game to game to game and you're catching your breath going, oh my gosh, we didn't quite have that. We had it in brief moments.
One more and we'll let you go, Teresa. Yeah, while you're on vacation, so you didn't have to deal with it, Vanderbilt, Malcolm Turner, the AD, fires Bryce Drew and pretty much surprised everybody, quite frankly.
Well, I'll just say this. I wrote my Bryce gets fired by Vanderbilt story before their SEC tournament game. So maybe not everybody. Honestly, guys, the biggest question was, would Vanderbilt and Malcolm Turner make that move, you know, so soon into Turner's tenure, and honestly so soon into Bryce's tenure with 3 seasons. But 20 losses last year, and then this season going into the offseason with, you know, such a long, long losing skid, it just – made it painful. I mean, I had people hitting me up, angry over this situation, wanting a change. Like, even when Kevin Stallings was at the end of his tenure, nobody was as mad as people were over what they saw this season with Bryce Drew and Vanderbilt, unfortunately.
No, absolutely. And, we're kind of like, because the timing, I guess, it shocked us all. But what do you look at? I mean, two awful seasons. And is it going to get any better this coming year? A lot of folks don't think so at all. So 3 years has become the new five in sports, especially college athletics, when, you know, you had the 5 year to kind of get your things going and get it rolling. Now I think three is the year. If you're not done by year three, then you're out of there.
Well, and Joe, Vanderbilt has such a proud tradition and history in men's basketball. You know, these two seasons, the war, you know, it's just ugly. They had not done this. We're talking about the first losing record in Memorial Gym ever in the history of the oldest barn in the SEC. That's one of the things that just kind of rubbed the salt in. Now, here's the thing. Malcolm Turner, G League guy, he certainly has connections. You would hope that he makes a good hire, and maybe we'll see just how much of a difference a coach, maybe with some experience, better coach, whatever you want to call it, can do with that talent.
Let me ask you this. What would happen if they hired Bruce Pearl at Vanderbilt?
The one thing, I don't see that ever. And two, you think Auburn's going to let him go? I mean, shoot, Auburn has got as much a right to think that they can go play for a title as anybody with the way they play defense and shoot threes. So, and Auburn's the team that, you know, I got to think Pearl is going to have some loyalty to Auburn. Why? They hired him when he was still on his show cause penalty.
Yeah.
And got him back in the SEC. So,
just
talk about, don't see it.
Hire Kevin O'Neill, okay? Good Lord. They're not going to hire Bruce Pearl. Teresa, thank you. Rest well. Heal well. Keep it elevated, okay?
Okay, and I'll see you. Get off the air at 11, right?
Yeah, and any more maladies, you're free to blame me. I don't care.
All right, sounds good to me, Greg. Thank you.
See you, Teresa.